Take your Bible and turn into the book of 1 Samuel. And I'm going to the third chapter. We're not far into that chapter. I'm going to actually tonight read the entire chapter. I'm not going to ask you to stand. You'll get weary on me. And I might have something to say and some comments before we read that long, before we get through to pray. So therefore, I'm going to go ahead and read the Bible. And I pray tonight that you'll understand this. I pray tonight that God would do you like He's done Samuel. Now remember, Samuel has been taken to the house of God. He's been entrusted to Eli, and Hannah, his mother, was barren, and she prayed that God give her a son, and she would give him back to the Lord. Well, God did His word and obeyed what she asked and give her a child, a son. And I'm thankful tonight that Hannah didn't do like some. She had done exactly what she promised the Lord that she would do. She took him to the house of God. Amen. Every mama ought to do that. And turn every child over to God. We're not living in a day like that now. People turn them over to everything else. The school system raises most of our children. And the television does the rest of it, and the internet, social media, yeah. Amen. Don't you wish you could keep them away from all that?
That's right.
Don't you wish you would have tried more before you got yours raised?
Yeah.
All right, that's enough, I guess, of that. Let's get on the subject. 1 Samuel chapter number 3, please. The Bible said, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." I like what he was doing. He had a good job. He didn't say anything about being a bartender. Didn't say anything about being a hijacker. Didn't say anything about being a thief. He said he ministered unto the Lord. Hey, man, that's a good, right there. I could preach all night on that, just right there. And it said, "And the word of the Lord was precious in those days." Don't you wish it was today?
Amen.
Now you hear me tonight.
Yeah.
God gave me a message this afternoon. And I don't know where I'm going to get it across to you. But if I could just get just a little bit of what God gave me to give to you tonight, I'd go home and I'd rest like a baby tonight. Amen. And I appreciate it. I want the Word of God to be precious to me. I want the Word of God to be precious to you. I want you to love it like you've never loved it before. I want you to fall in love with the Word of God. Amen. People who are in love with the Word of God are loved by the God of the Word. Amen. Praise God, I have to remember that. I thought that pretty good. Amen. Just come up with it right then. What about that? It said, "There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim," the Bible said that he could not see, "and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.'" Praise God. Listen for the voice of God. And when he speaks, answer him like Samuel did. "Here am I." You said, "The Lord don't speak to me." Well, if you don't speak to me and didn't speak to me and hadn't spoke to me, I believe I'd be finding out what's wrong with me. Amen. Hey, I want you to know, he speaks to me. And you said he spoke to me and scared me to death a few months ago. I want him to speak more to me.
Amen.
I'm not scared of him on that area.
Right.
Amen. I fear because I don't hear when he speaks. And I fear because I don't say, "Here am I." Then it says this, And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I. For thou callest me." And he said, "I call not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I." That's the second time. "For thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Can you hear that now? He didn't know the Lord, but he heard a voice from God. He heard God speaking. There's a lot of people, when God speaks, never answer his call. And they die lost and go to hell. And our world is filled with people. Our world is filled with people who have not answered the call. But God's speaking. How's God speaking today? In the thing and in the method that people don't like much, and that's the preaching of the Word of God. God still calls men to preach the Word of God, to get the message out. And God's voice in this world, in this society, 2022, what is today, March the 17th? April 17th. Excuse me. And what did I say? April 17th in 2022. I want to go back to 1900s. I ain't got out of them yet. But, and you know, guess what? God wants to speak to us. And it said, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." Amen. But now he's working. He's ministering for the Lord. Getting that? He's a busy fella. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. How many times God have to speak to you? One's enough. Thank God for the grace of God that he speak even more than once. And it said, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Eli wasn't real bright on the scene, or he'd have noted first of all. But he was old, he waxed dim, he was aged. And Eli was a little bit of a, amen, I don't want to say it like this, but I guess that's about the best way to do it. He was a little wimp. He wasn't very strong on his children. They went against God. They sinned. And God took them out of off the scene in chapter 4. But notice in verse 9, the Bible said, "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down. And it shall be if he, amen, he recognized who that was, didn't he? If he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord." He caught on, didn't he? Eli caught on. "For thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." I'd like for you to take that tonight for our text verse. "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Amen. I got a purpose for that tonight. Verse 11 said, "And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." Amen. When God speaks, brother, I'll tell you, it makes a difference. Amen. I get tired of these people, but the Lord spoke to me and they never get disturbed about nothing. I'm going to tell you, when God speaks, brother, I want to listen. And brother, I want to tell you, I don't flip my fingers in the face of God, and I don't make light and sport of what God says. It humbles my heart and brings me to my knees. And brother, it's a fearful thing tonight. Amen. To when you get in God's presence. Somebody said, "I ain't been in God's presence in a long time, preacher." Amen. I'd be worried about that. Amen. Because when you get in God's presence, He'll get in your presence. That means God ain't visited you in a while. That means you hadn't visited Him in quite some time. Amen. You visit God's house. You visit God's throne. Amen. You visit God's Word. Amen. I'll guarantee you God will pay a visit to you. Now this is preliminary. This is not the message. But I think tonight it's setting the groundwork for it. Now let's go. He said, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. I'm fixing to destroy and uproot and change things, Samuel. That's what he's telling him. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. Remember, Eli has gotten into a little rut and he's paying no attention to what his sons are doing. And God is somewhere down the road already told Eli that he must bring his sons into subjection. And if he didn't, God was going to deal with him. Now he's telling Samuel. Samuel didn't even have to know all that if Eli had done his job. Now it says in verse number 14, and therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. He said, I'm going to cut him off, what he's trying to say. And Samuel lay under the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. I know how Samuel feels. I know how he felt there. He said, how's that? Sometimes God will wake the man of God up in the middle of the night. Sometimes God will speak to the man of God during the daytime. Sometimes God will give a church a message to be delivered by the preacher. And the preacher has to carry that message to that people. And it's not an easy thing, and fear comes upon the preacher. Many times I stood, Brother Burrow, in the pulpit with fear in my heart for two reasons. Because I knew if the people didn't do what God has told them to do through the preacher, he's going to work on their case. And if I don't tell them what God said he is going to do, I'm going to have to pay the price. Amen. Amen. Everybody ought to have to pastor for a month or two. Amen. Now, notice what it says. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? Now that's put Samuel in a tight position. Tell me what God said. I want to know. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said to thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. He's threatening little Samuel, in a sense. And he's making it pretty plain. He's put Samuel in what we call between a rock and a hard place. And he said in verse 18, and Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. This started his prophetship, I guess you'd say, or prophetic realm that he's going to serve for God. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh, by the word of the Lord. Now let's pray. I took a little time with that. I believe sometimes we need to read more scripture than what we do. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd give us divine wisdom. I pray you'd touch our hearts, our minds, our souls. Lord, help us tonight to see this. This is a tremendous chapter. And Lord, before we even start tonight, we know we're not going to scratch the surface of what you've done put on our heart. But I pray tonight, Father, that you'll give us the burden, every one of us in this building, the burden of the necessity that you've laid upon our hearts. I pray, God, that you might help us to understand. And Lord, help us to see today what we need to be doing and where our stand should be today as we stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Help us, Lord, to do and be what you want us to be. We'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now tonight, I want us to look at this. In chapter 4, you will find that Israel went to battle. And we'll find in chapter 4 that they thought they'd take the Ark of the Covenant, which is like the presence of the Lord. And if they took that to the battle, they could win and fight and whip the Philistines. Sometimes we trust in things rather than the things of God. Amen. And even God himself. So Hophni and Phinehas went with them. They take that Ark of the Covenant to battle. And the Philistines killed Hophni and Phinehas and took the Ark of the Covenant. They didn't know what they was getting. They didn't know what to do with it when they got it. And they suffered many things in their life because of it. But we find at the same time that when the story was told about Hophni and Phinehas in chapter 4, and Eli had lost his sons, and why did he lose them? Somebody said, because they were wicked. Why were they wicked? Because he did not correct them. Amen. If he had corrected them and they had went the other way, it had been Hophni and Phinehas and that's it. But Eli was in on the judgment. Amen. Beloved, I'll tell you now, it's a fearful thing tonight to raise children. It's not a play toy. Amen. I watch and see the things that I see, and I'll tell you, every child, every little boy and girl needs to be taught the things of God. I'm not talking about when they're 10, 12, 13, 14 years old. It's too late then. Yeah. Woman asked me one time, said, when should I correct my child? He's 8 years old now. I said, 8 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Amen. I'm telling you, looking at this, that God now has brought judgment upon Eli. And when he hears it, he's lost Hophni and Phinehas. He's lost the two sons that were a treasure to him. I know he loved them, even though they did what they did. But on top of that, he lost the Ark of the Covenant, which is the presence of God. Brother, when you lose all that, you've lost it all. And so he falls off the throne and dies. And we find that one of the daughters-in-law was going to give birth to a child. And she did. And she lost her life or died in childbearing. And they called it the name of the place, or called it Ichabod. Because it states that the glory of the Lord is departed from Israel. Now that's a big statement. Now I want to say, and I want to give you this tonight, and I don't want to be critical, but I'm careful. And I believe tonight that America has lost the glory of God. When I hear of the apostates and people who are well represented in this world, who are well respected, who are lifted high, that most church members will recognize their voice over little old boys like me and some of the other little country preachers. They count us as nothings, and they count them as everythings. And they are compromisers of the Word of God and will not take a stand. And I could name you a list yea long, but I didn't come here to do that tonight. I'll save that for another message. Not in the mood or the mode for that. I believe you could already make your list anyhow. If you know anything about God, you probably could at least name about two or three apostates in the world. And if that's all you can name, you need to go study. Because the world's full of them. But I say to you tonight that the glory of the Lord has left our churches. Now the glory, brother, is something that we need. We've lost it. Amen. You hear me, and I've said it for years, and you've heard me over and over and over. I make no apology for it, and I make no change to that statement. You ought to learn how to praise God.
Amen.
You ought to learn how to get excited over amazing grace.
Amen.
And not to wine women in song of the world. I had to think what they do out there. Amen. You ought to learn where your strength is. You ought to learn tonight where your food is. I'm talking about spirituality. So if anything tonight, I want you to get the thought that we need to fall in love with the Word of God like we've never been in love with before.
Amen.
A man and a wife has problems and they go to the preacher. Or they usually this day won't even fool with the preacher because they know what the preacher's going to tell them. If he's anything at all. If he ain't much punkin, they can go to him because he'll say, oh, well, won't you just vote get you a divorce? You'd be surprised if the preachers would tell you that.
Yeah.
Amen. But if they go to a real man of God, he's going to straighten that out. So they go to the counselor because the counselor's going to say, what we need to do is get you under some kind of program and kind of teach you how to do this and do that and how that you and learn how to compromise with one another. Instead of saying, why don't you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? Give Him your whole heart and your whole life. Bury yourself in the Word of God and on your knees before God and get this marriage mended.
Amen.
They're not doing that in these days. But that's the answer.
Yep.
Amen. I was in contact with a preacher one day. We was talking about a man and his wife, young fella, and a young lady. And I said to him, I said, she's going to leave him and divorce him. He said to me, and the preacher's strange. He's a strange preacher anyhow, and I like strange preachers. I'm not talking about them at choir. I'm talking about them at strange with the Word. Lazy. Any preacher today that'll tell it like it is in the Word of God, strange. He don't fit in. I like preachers that don't fit in with society. It's the kind I look for. If they like the world, I don't like them. Amen. Well, he looked at me and he said, he ought to have been good to her. He gave me the answer I didn't want to hear. I thought, well, I don't know what the problem is. He said he ought to have been good to her. Later I found out that he is right. Man be good to a woman and a woman be good to a man. Why in the world would she want to leave him? Amen. You said, I know some cases like that. They love each other. No, if you love each other dearly, you'll stay together.
Amen.
I'm experienced with that. 54 and a half years, I was married to the same woman. You with me? It wasn't a bed of roses, I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't a super highway for 54 and a half years. We had our ups and downs. Sometimes we had more downs than we did ups. And I'm not talking about drinking and drugs. Or sometimes it was smooth running, and sometimes it was rough road. Sometimes it was super highway with the smooth road, and sometimes it was gravel. And I'm not talking about that little sand and small gravel. I'm talking about that, what is that, 57?
Yeah.
Now some of y'all's not into this. They don't know about 57. 57 big old rocks. You run on a road that's got big old rocks, and brother, boom, 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 boom. Sometimes it was rough. But God helped us with that. Just like most of you men and women tonight that's been married any length of time, you've had your ups and downs. And unless you've done everything she told you to do, you still got ups and downs.
Amen.
And it's going to take the grace of God. It ain't smooth.
Right.
Amen. I always have admired Miss Sue-El and Brother Jim, but I'll guarantee you she'll tell you tonight it was some rough roads every once in a while. I thought Jim was a pretty sweet feller. He was, but he could get ugly sometimes, couldn't he? All right. I proved my point. Now I'm trying to tell you tonight, the only thing I know for America to do to change the situation we're in tonight is to get in the Word of God and find out some things. I believe of all things I've studied down through the years and trying to figure out where we are and what's wrong with us tonight is that we don't know much about the precious Word of God.
Amen.
Something's missing. Now, let me just give you this. The Bible is a divine revelation of God. You'll never learn anything about God if you don't get in this book. Now, you can go to church and carry one. You can take it to the house and throw it on the coffee table. You could own 50 Bibles tonight and still not know much about God. But if you'll read your Bible tonight, you'll get divine. I didn't say earthly. I didn't say secular. I didn't say worldly knowledge. I said you'll get some divine revelation.
Amen.
God reveals Himself not in the government. God reveals Himself not in the things of this world. God reveals Himself through the Word of God and is taught to us through the Spirit of God and through the man of God.
Amen.
Now, God won't change that plan. He hasn't for years. You said it's not working today. Oh, yes, it's working. We're just not using it. If you want to know more about God and the revelation of God and being divine revelation from heaven, you get in this book. I don't know what you're doing on your public day. I don't know what you're doing in your steps of life and where you go and what you do every day. But I believe you need to give some more time over to the Word of God. I believe everybody in this building say the man of God, if he's been called to preach, ought to study the Word of God. And every preacher, if he's got, you know, if he's worth the salt that goes in his bread, he's going to tell you that you need to have more alone time in the Word of God.
Amen.
So I believe tonight the Bible gives us the divine revelation of God. I believe the Bible conveys to us the divine message of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. I also believe tonight that the Word of God carries a divine authority.
Amen.
Nothing in this world is more divine in authority than God. That's why He said that we ought to put God first. That's why He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His rights, these things will be added unto you. We don't need psychologists and we don't need people over there that's got all these little degrees and all those things to come forth and to try to tell us they know this and they know that when they don't know. As a fellow old country boy said, they don't know squat. They'll tell you what they know, but they don't know nothing. Some of the preachers tell you how that you could run your home and let the Word of God do it and tell you what God wants out of you, and their home's about to fall apart. Can I tell you that? I told you a while ago, it's a rough road for me for 54 and a half years of marriage. And I'm not lying to you. And my pastor one time, he'd come to me and talk to me and he said him and his wife had had a 50-year anniversary. And I was there at it. And he said, me and Pat, her name was Pat. Her name was actually Patience, and they called her Pat. He called her Pat. He said, Pat and I have been married 50 years. We've never had a fuss. We've never had an unkind word. We never had an argument. And I'm looking at him, and I've been preaching a while. And I'm saying to myself, this man's got to be lying to me. He's either lying to me, or he's been doing everything she wanted done for all these 50 years. I believe it's the first. I believe he lied to me. Amen. I don't believe there's a man in this building, if you'll be honest with God, and that's a good way of starting things tonight. I don't believe there's a man in this building tonight that's been married 10 years, at least 5 years. I will give you 6 months. Amen. Going back even 6 months of your marriage, you said things to your wife that's been unkind. And she said things to you that's been unkind. And somewhere along the line, you have not agreed. You don't agree tonight. You won't agree tomorrow, next month. But the Bible said, what God put together, let no man put asunder.
Amen.
And God gives the grace. Amen. I've never met a perfect woman. I've never met a perfect man. But I've read of one who died for me on Calvary.
Amen.
And if you ever meet a perfect woman and a perfect man, I wish you'd send me their picture. Give me their address. I want to go see them. I'm taking them out to lunch.
Amen.
I want to learn from them. So the Word of God will give us divine revelation. It'll give us a divine message, and it'll give us a divine authority. Nothing has an authority like the Word of God. Now let me give you something else. The Word of God, when you study it, will be historical information sometimes. The reason some of you don't know some things about the Bible is because you haven't read the history books. I'm not talking about the history books that they burn and the history books that they throw away. I'm talking about the history books in the Bible. Some of your Bible is nothing in the world but history. And if you don't know that history, you won't know about God and the way God operates. So the Bible will give you a historical information. Number two, the Bible will give you doctrinal instruction. The reason our people today don't know the doctrines of the Word of God is because they have not studied the doctrines of the Word of God. And some of you look at it now and say, I don't know whether that's doctrine or not. You know, I've lived there. Amen. It's called Undoctrinated Avenue. I used to live there. I didn't know what the Bible said. I didn't know where it was doctrine or not. Amen. One of my former pastors, you've heard me say this before, but it sure fits tonight here. I went to the church where he was a member of, and he said, Preacher, he said, this church will make you, or it will break you. He said, you'll be all right at this church if you don't preach on doctrine. You've heard me mention that. So every time I'd get up, I was young fella. I'm not well anchored. I'm amazed tonight how long it took me to get anchored. Some, like Eli, never got anchored. You hear me? Peter says in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, maybe it's 1 Peter, and he says something that he was grounded and settled. But you know, it took Peter a long time to get settled. Sometimes it takes you and me as Christians a long time to get settled. But I thank God he finally worked on me and got me settled in some things. I still have a problem with some others. You said, I know it, preacher. Well, amen. Get out of my front yard and quit talking about me. I'm just trying to tell you to help you.
Amen.
All of us need help.
That's right.
And I'm glad I got a book tonight that can help me. I'm glad I got a friend that's sticking closer than a brother and a Savior tonight that can learn me. I realize I'm hard-headed. I realize you're hard-headed. Amen. Some of you wives look at your husband and said, you know, he's a hard-headed rascal. And the husbands get down on the job and said, you know, my wife's hard-headed. I can't get nothing into her. She just won't listen about nothing. And so I've come to the conclusion that we're all hard-headed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pretty good. We've been butting everything like a billy goat all these years. We got a hard head. Hear me? Now, I didn't know this message was going to turn out like it is. I'm not apologizing. I'm going to keep a going. And if you get more than you need, you can crawl down under the pew and stay there till I get through. But the Bible tonight tells me that I can learn historically and I can learn by instruction in doctrine. There's no reason for me to not know something about the Word of God that's doctrinal. If I ask you tonight, what do Baptists believe? Well, I really don't care what Baptists believe. What's the Bible teach? But now some people say, well, the Baptists say this. This is what the Baptists practice. I don't care what the Baptists practice. I've met some crazy Baptists. I preached to a few lying Baptists, a few cussing Baptists, a few drinking Baptists. Amen. Worldly Baptists. Dead Baptists. Amen. And they don't know much about, as the feller said, they don't know diddly squat about doctrine. But that preacher said to me, he said, you'll be all right if you don't preach about doctrine. I wondered, what will I do? What is doctrine? I went and looked at the dictionary and tried to find out what doctrine was. I checked with Dr. Bottlestopper and this and that and Webster. I checked Webster from one side to the other to find out. I looked at three or four different Webster dictionaries. You know, today you look in Webster's dictionary, he's supposed to be the authority on it. But isn't it amazing? He's changed down through the years and been dead a long time. What Webster started off with, he don't even believe now. He went to sleep and forgot it all. That ain't so. I use the old 1878 Webster's Dictionary. It's the only one you'll find tonight. It may not be the only one, but it's the oldest one that you'll find that uses scripture references in its answers. Can you see the new modern dictionary? What is that? Thesaurus? I can't say that word good. But they'll tell you about, you know, it's unabridged and got all this. And they'll give you something and you'll say, that's different than what he said 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 200 years ago.
You're right.
Well, which one I believe? Back 100 years ago, when people gave you an answer to something, you know what they used the Bible to try to help you with it. What does preachers use today? They'd rather you just go ahead and listen to Webster. So if you want to know doctrine, and I tried to find out what it was, and so I'm down praying one day at the old rock altar. Nobody there but me. Well, I take that back. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost was with me. And I was praying. And I said, Lord, help me to preach. Help me to declare the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit gave me the scripture, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, with all long suffering and doctrine. And I said, whoo, now I've got to find out what I'm to preach. Am I going to do what the Bible says, or am I going to do what the preacher said? And I got back in the pulpit, reared back, and started preaching doctrine. Still preaching it today, and ain't going to quit.
Amen.
Amen. Our doctrines are bad. People in the church don't know much about the Bible. They don't know the doctrines. They don't know what we are to believe and what we're to stand for. They certainly don't tonight. Amen. I got to rush. because time done caught me, and I'm having such a good time. We can get our information historically from the Word of God. We can get our instruction doctrinally from the Word of God. But there's another thing that the Word of God will give us, which many of times we don't have. We don't have historical information because we haven't studied it. We don't have doctrinal information or instruction because we don't know what God says. We haven't studied it. But the third thing is we don't have no spiritual inspiration anymore.
Amen.
And we get our inspiration tonight from the Word of God. If you don't read the Word of God, you won't know what the history of the Bible is. If you don't study the Word of God, you won't know the doctrines of the Word of God. If you don't study the Word of God tonight, you won't have no spiritual inspiration. Inspiration means that you've been inspired to something. Oh, preacher, I know that them holy men of old were inspired to write the Word of God. That's right. They translated it into English, and we have our King James Bible. We believe tonight it's inspired. We believe the Word of God, the one I preach out of tonight, is verbally inspired. Amen. That's why I don't listen to Dr. Bottle stopper down the road, read out of the New King James, or read out of the NIV. Have you ever listened to them? You want to find out what a verse of Scripture says? Read after what somebody says that the NIV says, and then pick up your King James. You're going to get two different ideas of the same verse because they're using something they wrote. Some of the things that the preachers are preaching is man's word, not God's word. But I do believe when you're reading the Word of God, that God will spiritually inspire you.
Amen.
Unless you're trying to get yourself another pen to go on your lapel because you have read the Bible every day.
Right. Amen.
Or unless you're reading the Bible straight through, to be able to prove to somebody that I read it 50 times in my lifetime. I got off of that kick long time ago. I believe in daily Bible reading. And I have seen a lot of things and even got a few, and I've even thought about giving them out down here, but I'm trying my best to get you involved to where you want to love the Word of God and I not force you to it. Because if I involve you in studying and reading the Word of God tonight, I'm going to have to keep on doing it. But if you ever fall in love with it tonight and you get up in the morning, that's what you desire, and you want to read the Word of God and you'll do it every day, I won't have to worry about you. Your life will change. It'll turn around and head in the right direction. Nobody's ever took the Bible and went backwards if they obeyed it.
Amen.
Amen. The Word of God will put you in the right direction. Pick up your step. I don't know where God will pick up your left foot and put it down first, and then your right foot, and then your left foot, and then your right foot. But one way or the other tonight, the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, He may start you off on your right foot. And don't you come to me arguing it was my left foot He put out first. That's trivial. That's foolish. Just make sure that the Word of God is picking up your feet and putting them down. I will assure you this one thing. You get in the Bible and the Word of God won't pick up your right foot and move it forward and your left foot and move it backward. And I'll assure you this one thing. The Word of God will not, if you get in it, hold your feet to where you cannot walk. He said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He may tell you to stand right now still for the Lord. But it ain't a sure thing forever. Amen. He may tell you to slow down because you're too fast. He may tell you to speed up because you're too slow. But the Word of God will direct the traffic of your soul.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I want you to know tonight that we need to know the revelation of God. We need to know the message of God. And we need to have that authority of God. And we can't get it nowhere else but in the Word of God. We need to learn the Bible's contents. We need to learn the teachings of the Word of God. And we need to learn its message so that we can apply it to our heart and life. The Word of God will profit us intellectually. You may not know how to write your ABCs, but the Word of God can help you. Now you said, if I can't say my ABCs, how can I read the Word of God? Well, I know a lot of preachers, and I know a lot of people years past could not read a stitch of the Word of God, but some of them could tell you things about the Bible that nobody else could because somebody read them the Word of God. Sometimes preachers have had wives that have read them the Word of God. And sometimes in our modern day, and there's no excuse for it in our modern day.
No.
Amen. Somebody said, well, I'd get it off. I could learn it off of Twitter. Throw Twitter away. I get it off of Facebook. I won't get off Facebook. I want his face. Amen. You said, I'll get it off of tape. Well, as long as you've got King James Bible, listen to it all the time. Help yourself. Some of you people got automobiles that can play scripture, play preaching. Some of y'all ain't into that yet. Some of you got automobiles that can do it, but you don't know how to do it. And you're too old now to learn. I understand that. And I'm not being mean. But you young folks today that know how to do it, brother, you can get that to where you're going down the road, and instead of hearing these little radio stations ain't going to tell you nothing but junk, read and hear the Word of God and let God speak to you. Gospel music, and I'm not talking about the contemporary stuff. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I doubt in that kind of joke. But when they get up and say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Amen.
I have to hold my foot off of that gas pedal. My heart goes to thumping good. Amen. Gets on target and heads in the right direction. And I get to praising God, and sometimes I don't let it come out audible through my mouth, but I sure am burning on the inside. Every once in a while, I let the window down and say, hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. Pulled up somewhere the other day, got out, and the fellow said, you listening to preaching? I said, sure was. How'd you know? He said, heard it in your truck when you got up, when you pulled up. Amen. He said, I'd be ashamed of that preacher. Yeah, well, just go ahead and stay ashamed of me. Amen. I'll listen to what you got in your racket box next time I go buy it. All right? We need to learn the things of God if we want to learn intellectually. We need to study the Word of God. I'll give you two more and I'm going to quit. I'm going to add one little thing to the end of that. I believe we have to get profit. If we want to have some profit for intelligence, we're going to have to study the Word of God to get smart. I believe we need to profit tonight from moral guidance. Can anybody here deny the fact that we don't have problems with our morals in America? It's about as wicked as I know. We're living in a demonic age, a demonic world. Brother, where I want you to know the devil's doing everything he can to disrupt the people, disrupt the house of God, and disrupt your house and my house and everything that's going on.
Amen.
And we need some moral guidance. And how are we going to get that? Reading the Word of God. You're not going to agree with a lot of things in the Bible. But if you'll let it go to practice, I'll guarantee you one thing. It'll clean your life up. It'd be amazing how much God would take a scrub pad and wipe your heart and clean it up. Praise God. Dawn soap is pretty good about cleaning about anything I know. I've done found that out in my little days of housekeeping. Dawn detergent is pretty good, taking out grease and everything. Am I right, ladies? Pretty good. There may be some, if you know what's better than cutting grease, let me know. I'll try and tackle it too. But I want to tell you right now, brother, it's going to take more than Dawn soap to clean your heart. You're going to take the Word of God with a scrub board and a scrub pad. God needs to put us on His rub board. Y'all remember them old rub boards? That's a little bit past some of y'all's age. This little girl right here may not know what a rub board is. You do? Somebody taught you that somewhere? I know you didn't have to use one. You ever use one? All right, I got down to the bottom. Amen. I dare say that there's many of you ladies in here that have used rub board. You've seen them. You said, oh, I got one hanging on my wall. Well, they used not to hang them on the wall. Used to, they weren't antiques. Amen. They were the real McCoy. And them rub boards would scrub them overalls and get that grease out of them. Lye soap and overalls and rub boards work together. Amen. It's skin and knuckles too. But I want to say to you tonight, if you want to know morally how to walk, study the Word of God. And then you need that doctrinal truth that we talked about a while ago, and you're going to get that out of the Word of God. So we need all that. Now let me give you something to suggest to you. I've just learned in the last 5-10 years, I've been preaching a long time, but in the last 5-10 years, I've learned how to study the Bible to help me, to help others. And I'm going to throw this in before I say this statement, because you're going to understand. For years, I was trying to take what people were saying, what preachers were writing, commentaries, what they said, studying what they said so I can help the people. And one of the bad things about that is preachers studying that to try to help the people are trying to take the Scripture and apply it to the people so that they'll understand, but he's sometimes not looking at his own needs. In the last 5 to 10 years, I've realized that I need just as much of the Word of God as you do. And I study the Word of God, and yes, I find things that can help you. But when I'm preaching this, what I'm preaching tonight, I'm preaching to the choir. This preacher right here needs every bit of what I told you tonight. So we could study the Word of God from a bird's eye view. I say telescopic view is what I've called it before. Looking down over the Word of God. And then there's another way of studying. That's what I call the microscopic view. You put everything under the microscope and start breaking it apart. But suppose I'm going to read a book, and I'm going to study a book, and I'm going to break it down. I'm going to learn a book. Suppose it's the book of Genesis. First thing I'll do is read Genesis one time all the way through, as quickly as I can. And try to, the reason I want to do it quickly as I can, at my age, I don't remember what I read yesterday. Y'all don't have that problem yet. But you will. So the quicker I read it, the more I got an understanding of the whole book. If you don't believe what I'm talking about, get yourself a little, go to the book of Obadiah. It's only got one chapter. Go to the book of 1st or 2nd John, 3rd John, Jude. Read that book through. It won't take you long. Not that many chapters, just one. Let's just say the book of Jude. You read that book of Jude. You want to see what it's saying. What does it mean? Read it straight through. Then turn around, have yourself a little word of prayer and say, Lord, speak to me. I'm going to read this book again, and this time I want you to point out some things to me. Read it the second time. You don't have to be as fast, but just a little slower since you got one chapter. Amen. Now, you can do this in one day. Some of you can. The book of Jude may not, that may be more time than you've really gotten. If that's all you've got, you just got enough time to read the book of Jude one time, you're going to be a poor Christian down the road. Not many amens there.
You're right.
And then you read it the second time and you say, Lord, I picked up some things there and I appreciate it. Now this time, Lord, I'm going to get me some paper and a pencil and I'm going to read it again. And this time I want you to show me some things that I have not seen before. And you search it. You read it. And then you say, Lord, thank you for what you taught me. Lord, I'm going to read it again and somehow help me to zero in on the words and the phrases and the sentences and the verses. Let me see who it's written to and what you're saying to them. And help me, Lord, to see how it's applied to my life. And you start writing. And then you say, Lord, I'm going to read it again. You say, but preacher, I'll never get through the Bible. No, but you'll sure know more about that one book than you've known in a long time. And after a while, this is what's going to happen. You're going to learn some things because the Holy Ghost is going to put it down in here. If you're saved, now if you're not saved, you're wasting your time. Get to the altar. Get saved.
Amen.
But if you've got the Holy Ghost living in you, if He ain't living in there, He's not going to show you nothing. And if you read it enough and you've got the Holy Spirit living in you and you're saved by the grace of God, it's not going to be long till God's going to show you some things and you're going to say, praise God, I didn't know that was ever in there. You're going to come to church and say, you know, I seen this the other day. I said, that's what us young preachers used to do. Every young preacher that don't know much about the Word of God, he's growed in grace and you can tell it. I'll tell you how you can tell it. Listen to him in his pulpit preaching to his people. Amen. He don't preach the same old sermons he used to preach. He'll preach into the depth and little things that he's learned and he gets excited. Sometimes I get over there and says, amen. I've got things right now that I'm excited about telling you people, but I'm just waiting on God's timing.
Amen.
It's in there. I just can't get it out yet. Amen. And if I told all of it, it'd probably choke you, but I'm going to tell you right now, you need to learn it. And then after a while, you said, you know what? I've done what the preacher said, and now I just got such a love for the Word of God. I got such a love. I'm not going to ask you, but tonight if I ask you, do you have a love? Now ladies would sometimes expect a baby, they get what they call a craving. It may be banana pudding, and they want banana pudding every night. And sometimes you may have to go to the store at midnight somewhere to find something that they want, pickles or something. And if you don't have a craving in your body or in your soul for the Word of God, things to study, I want to tell you right now, you need to work on that. If you're saved, the Spirit of God will help you with that.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. David said he loved the Word of God more than necessary food. How many of you tonight could say that? Praise God. I'd rather have the Word of God as banana pudding. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to quit right there. That's enough right there to choke you. And I pray tonight God will help you. Amen. I do. I pray the Lord will do what He needs to do in our hearts and lives. And get us all on the same wavelength and strengthen us. Don't you say tonight that's what we need?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, touch our hearts tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the liberty we had to preach. Lord, we realize tonight that we said a lot more than normally we say and spend more time. But Lord, we're not apologizing for that. We could have another hour or two and it'd help us. And I pray, God, you'd help us to go home now and love our Bible and get a hold of it. And Lord, see if we can make a difference in our life with the Word of God. And if you make a difference in our lives, you can make a difference in somebody else's life around us. I pray, God, that we'll grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior and get where we need to be. In Jesus' name we pray.